Welcome to Ghostly.
Is the Driscoll Hotel in Austin, Texas haunted?
Ghostly is a podcast that comes out every other week. In each episode, we take a ghost story or paranormal event and look into its complete history. Rebecca then gives us evidence proving that the story is real, and my job is to debate those pieces of evidence and get you, the listener, prepared to vote on if it's real or not. If you haven't yet, please hit that subscribe button. And as always, we're your host. I'm Pat.
And I'm Rebecca.
Okay, so the Driscoll Hotel. This is one that I picked off of a list.
Yes.
And I was wondering, is there ghost stories for this?
There's definitely ghost stories for this.
Just like one or something?
No, there's many. And in fact, I think it was a couple years ago, it was top on the Yelp list of most haunted hotels in Texas.
Ooh.
So there are many articles written about that. They're proud of being on the top of the list.
All right. And this actually... It's going to mention somebody that is another ghost story that we might do. Oh. Littlefield.
Oh.
The Littlefield House.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, so we're going to mention that in the story. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And it's about a business that keeps failing. That's in the history. So
there you go.
Stay tuned for that.
All right.
This is the shout out section. There's two ways to get a shout out on Ghostly. The first way is to give us a review on Apple Podcast. We always prefer those 5-star reviews, but you know, we're going to read any and all reviews that we receive. And the second way is to become a member on Patreon. Just go to ghostlypodcast.com and click on Patreon in the menu bar. And we have a lot of different tiers to choose from. We would like to welcome new patron, Georgia.
Yay. Welcome, Georgia.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, very exciting. Lots of good stuff happening over there. Lots of good, depending on the tier, ad-free episodes, bonus Ghostly X episodes.
Yes.
Lots of good content over there.
Absolutely. I would love to do a relics series and on Ghostly X.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some of the ancient relics that are left over, and do they have magical powers?
Absolutely. Are they haunted? I don't know. All right. So we do have a listener mail. We are going to finish up with Nikki's story.
Okay.
We've been telling Nikki's stories. They bought the house. They moved in. Creepy things were happening.
Yeah.
And where we ended, she kind of confronted this spirit, this man, and said, hey, listen, we're not leaving. We got to figure this out. And everything seemed to be better.
Sure. I know Nikki was a little disappointed that we didn't include it in our Skeptics Day episode. But I'm just going to say that, you know, you don't want it in a Skeptics Day episode anyways.
Well, that one's kind of a different kind of episode.
It is.
So So
it is.
We want to keep it with the ghostly stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So here we go. Let's finish this up.
Yes.
All right. So we had all gotten used to each other in the house, and I thought this was just how it would always be in our home. Another day in the fall, I was home in the basement checking my email on our computer set up down there. Baby was sleeping, pets were upstairs dozing in the living room, and Daddy had been at work all morning. He was not expected home until 4:30. As I was typing away, the front door, a heavy door with its original locks from the 1920s, closed like someone had come in. The door was so heavy, it made the front windows in our living room rattle every time it opened or closed.
Wow.
I heard heavy footsteps like a man's walk through the small entry from the door into the living room to the dining room and then stop at the doorway between the dining room and the kitchen. I thought maybe Daddy had come home because he forgot his lunch. I waited, expecting to hear him call out for me. Nothing. Total silence. Not even the pattering of our dog's feet because Daddy was home, nor barking because an intruder was in the house. I got scared. I thought the worst, intruder, and they are very close to where my baby was sleeping now. I went up the stairs and into the back mudroom.
I thought that was murder room. Sorry. Murder room.
That would be a scary room to have in your house.
Yeah. Doesn't everyone have a murder room in their house?
Leading to the kitchen. I had no idea what I'd find or what I'd do. Just save baby was in my thoughts. I got into the kitchen. No one was there.
Mm.
Everything was quiet. Indy and Edwin were dozing in a patch of sunshine on the couch. I carefully checked the hallway, bedroom, pantry, my bedroom, and then as quietly as I could, opened the door to the nursery and found soundly sleeping. All I could think was, what just happened? I called Daddy at work and told him. He was immediately worried and asked if we were okay. Yes, yes, yes. But what was that? No idea. After that, we never had any sense of the man in the house or the yard, not even the one-car garage detached from the house. He was gone. We hoped he had gone because he was happy with the house and trusted us enough to leave it to us. I hoped he had found the light and gone into it. I hoped he was happy and safe now. A couple of years later, I related this event to my mom and my favorite aunt. They got very wide-eyed. My aunt said, maybe he came to walk through the house one last time. Maybe he needed to say goodbye. I like that. Still do. That's the happy ending I hoped for him. Our family has moved on and been on a wild journey since this occurred. We're now in our forever home, finally, and baby A graduates from high school this spring. We're so happy here, we love it, but I still think on that man. And when I do, I smile because our family was able to help him get closure on his life and let go, move forward to a life with God forever. Who wouldn't be happy about that? Thanks for reading my story. Sorry, it's long, maybe too long to read on the podcast. Ah, we just split it up. but feel free to read it. Keep up the good work, Pat and Rebecca.
Aw. Well, thank you, Nikki. Thank you so much for sending us your story. If you want to be as cool as Nikki, you can email us at info@ghostlypodcast.com with all your spooky stories. We need more. We are running out.
We're getting close.
Yeah, we might have to do episodes without listener mail. This is not something we want. So you can go to ghostlypodcast.com and just click on the contact us button, mm-hmm. which will take you to a form. One of our favorite ways, though, is to actually get it in the mail at P.O. Box number 264, Geneva, Illinois, 60134. And you're not going to remember any of that. Just go to the footer at the bottom of ghostlypodcast.com, ghostlypodcast.com, and you will have all that information at hand.
All right. So we do have to talk about polls.
Yeah, I guess we do.
Last episode that we had voting was the Tower of London episode. We didn't have voting for our Skeptics Day.
Yes, we did not.
Yeah. So for Tower of London, if we remember, we had a lot of Anne Boleyn for that one. Mm. Yes was 62.5 and no 37.5.
Wow, you got a good win there. And the overall rating, because people can rate things from 1 to 10, and the overall rating is 5.88. So that's pretty high.
That's pretty high.
Because you got to remember, there are skeptics that are going to vote 2, that are going to vote 1.
Right.
And you're going to vote 8 mm-hmm. or 10 or whatever. So it averages out.
Yeah. And I think we actually had some people submit comments of their own personal stories when they were at the Tower of London. So,
oh, yeah.
I think. You know, it's just a thanks for the win, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. thank you for voting. And if you want to vote on this episode, when you're done listening, go to ghostlypodcast.com and click on polls. That's all you got to do. That's
all you got to do.
Yep. Or you can, if you become a Patreon, I actually put it in the show notes. There's a direct link to go vote.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. So are you ready for a ghost story?
Oh, my God. I am so ready.
All right. So this is gonna get us in the mood for the Driscoll.
All right. I'm ready.
It's time for a spooky tale from Rebecca.
I've never left a hotel in the middle of the night before, but last night it happened. My wife and I decided to stay at the Driscoll in downtown Austin. I've heard how beautiful it is and we were excited. We checked in and the woman at the front desk offered us an upgrade to room 525. We were surprised but happy to take it. We put our stuff in our room and got ready to go out to dinner. As we were leaving our room, two women approached us and asked if we were staying in that room. They said they were very jealous of us. When we asked why, they said that didn't we know that we are staying in the most haunted room in the place? We did not know that. We went to dinner and out to experience Austin nightlife and really just thought they were either mistaken or making fun of us. We got back to the hotel not too late and made our way to bed, laughing that we really hoped no ghosts would get us in our sleep. Both of us woke up with a start at 2:03 a.m. to the sound of loud knocking. I was looking at the door, but my wife stifled a scream and grabbed my arm. When I looked, she was pointing at the window. I turned and I saw him, a man standing there watching us. He had black hair and dark pants, a white shirt, and my wife claims he also had a pocket watch. It was pretty dark, so I turned to turn on the light, loudly asking the man, "Who are you? What are you doing in our room?" I was so angry. I turned on the light next to my side of the bed, and when I turned back to face him, the man was gone. My wife and I took one look at each other, and we just started packing up our things. I don't think we even knew what to say to each other. It also seemed scary to even talk in that room. What if his spirit was still there listening? So we got our things and we went down to the front desk. My wife told her what happened and the clerk seemed unfazed. She told us it was the spirit of Peter Lawless, a longtime resident of the hotel who had passed away many years ago but never really left. She understood why we didn't want to stay and even refunded us for our room. I wonder if those women would have been excited to meet him. For us, we are not planning on returning anytime soon.
All right. So that's completely made up, right?
I will say it's elements of other. It's not necessarily, they're all things that people have claimed to have happened, but just kind of like mishmashed together.
Even the pocket watch?
Even the pocket watch.
Wow. Well, if you have your pocket watch handy, we will be back in just a couple of seconds while we take a quick break. Rebecca, we are back with the Pat Facts.
Pat Facts.
So, this is a very interesting story to me. I found this interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everyone's going to find it interesting, but there's a man named Jesse Driscoll. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he was a cattle baron during.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he moved from Texas to Missouri in 1849, just in time for the Civil War.
Oh.
And he decided to supply beef to the Confederate army, and he made a fortune doing that.
Wow. So he kind of made money off the war.
He made a lot of money off the war. And he used that money then to start the Driscoll.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
real estate investor.
Yeah. In 1884, he bought the land at the corner of 6th and Brazos for $7,500.
Wow, that I bet that was a. I mean, I can imagine that was a lot of money back then.
Back then, probably, yeah. And the hotel held a grand opening on December 20th, 1886. Isn't that your
that
birthday?
That is my birthday.
You're born in 1886.
Yep.
Oh wow.
Yep, exactly.
And it was featured in a special edition of the Austin Daily Statesman, which is like a newspaper thing that they had. On January 1st, 1887, Governor Sol Ross held his inaugural ball in its ballroom, beginning a tradition for every Texas governor since.
Okay, so this is, well, because Austin is the, like,
county seat or whatever.
I'm sure it's the county seat, but it's also the state.
Capital?
Capital, there it is. There's there the word. We took our government class in high school.
All right, but unfortunately, just as things go up in the cattle business, things go down in the cattle business.
Uh-oh.
And in May of 1887, less than a year after its opening, Driscoll was forced to close the hotel as he could no longer afford to operate the hotel following a harsh winter and drought that killed his cattle inventory.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, he would have killed them himself and, you know, sold them for meat, but.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I also heard that. I don't know. Did he have some issues personally as far as like spending too much money? I had read something about that.
When you have that much money, you spend that much money.
Like, I heard that he was a gambler as well.
Oh, yeah? Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. I saw that in one article, yeah. Not in every article, so I don't know.
Well, Driscoll did sell the hotel to his brother-in-law, which is Jim Doc Day.
Ooh.
I love anybody with the nickname Doc.
Yeah. Right? That may or may not be a doctor.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So he reopened the hotel in January of 1888.
Okay.
George Littlefield, remember I told you we were going to talk about the Littlefield House. Responsible for other Austin landmarks, such as the Littlefield House, which is supposedly haunted as well.
Okay, I think I've heard of that.
Opened the Austin National Bank on the southeast corner of the building. The old bank vault still remains there.
Okay.
I think Littlefield is one of the Warren things.
Oh.
I think they investigated the Littlefield House. I could be wrong.
Oh, the Warrens. Oh.
Yeah, do you want to look that up for me while I'm doing this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so Littlefield later purchased the hotel for $106,000 in 1895 and vowed that it would never again close. Littlefield invested over $60,000 in renovations, including ceiling frescoes, which you need ceiling frescoes, of course, and this new thing, electric lighting, steam heating, and 28 additional bathrooms because people like to go potty sometimes. But still sold the hotel at a loss of $25,000 in 1903, just a few years after buying it, to a banking competitor, E.L. Wilmot. Under Wilmot's ownership, the hotel was managed by hoteler W.L. Stark, who added barbershops and a woman's spa featuring Turkish baths. He oversaw the construction of an annex and adorned the former smoking room with 8 antique Austrian gold leaf frame mirrors, previously owned by Maximilian and Carlito of Mexico.
All right, yes, it does look like the Warrens investigated it, I think.
I just don't know how I even knew that. I just knew it. So then if the Warrens investigated, it probably isn't real.
Hey.
In 1908, the Daughters of the Republic of Texas met at the Driscoll Hotel to discuss the fate of the Alamo Mission in San Antonio. At the meeting, a divide between two factions of the group erupted over whether to demolish or preserve the structure. So to think, in 1908, they might have, you know, wanted to demo the whole Alamo.
Yeah, no, I did hear about that. There were moments where it was like, this thing isn't gonna last.
Yeah. But you gotta remember the Alamo, though. How do you remember the Alamo if you tear it down?
But this wasn't the Alamo, right?
It was, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That they were, the Daughters of the Republic of Texas were deciding whether or not they wanted to keep the Alamo Mission in San Antonio.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And then that was, I'm sorry, we're still talking.
And there's two factions that broke off.
Got it. I'm back.
Yeah, it's okay. And on October 12th, 1931, Louis Armstrong opened a 3-day performance at the Driscoll Hotel.
Ooh.
Wonder if he played It's a Wonderful Life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In attendance was Charles Black, a freshman at University of Texas at Austin at the time, who cited the performance as inspiration for his interest in race and civil rights.
Okay.
So if not for that, yeah. Who knows?
A lot of big meetings, yes, happened at this place.
Absolutely. Here's another one. In 1934, future President Lyndon Johnson met his future wife, Claudia Taylor, for their first date at the Driscoll Dining Room. It became his campaign headquarters during his congressional career, especially during his famous 1948 Senate race, and became a favorite place on the return trips to Austin during his presidency. He watched the results of the 1964 presidential election from its presidential suite, actually, and addressed supporters from its ballroom after his victory.
Nice.
Braniff International Hotels, Inc. of Dallas, Texas, bought the hotel in 1972 and began a $350,000 restoration of the grand lobby of the historic facility.
It's gone up since the $7,500.
$7,500, yeah. Braniff reopened the hotel to customers on January 15th, 1973, to very strong bookings and a conference business that they weren't expecting. In 1995, the Driscoll was purchased by Great American Life Insurance, who embarked on a $30 million renovation to restore the hotel to its original appearance, which had been heavily modified over the years. The hotel did close for 4 years for renovation work and was reopened in the Millennium celebration on December 31st, 1999.
Okay.
So they partied like it was 1999.
Wow, I can't believe, first of all, that an insurance company bought it and that they closed it for 4 years.
Well, yeah, they had to make the $30 million restorations.
Wow.
You don't just make $30 million restorations with the place open.
Well, it depends on the size of the place, but yeah.
President Bill Clinton stayed in the four-room Cattle Baron suite when he visited Austin in 1999.
Okay.
And on September 11th, 2001.
Whoa.
Yeah. Does that date ring a bell?
Yeah.
Jenna Bush, daughter of President George W. Bush, was relocated to the hotel by the Secret Service in the wake of the terrorist attacks earlier that day.
Wow.
September 11th. Yeah. In 2013, the Driscoll was purchased by Hyatt Hotels Corporation for $85 million, who embarked on an $8 million renovation of the hotel. Hyatt sold the hotel to Dallas-based Woodbine Development in May of 2022 for $125 million.
They made a profit.
Yeah. On March 17th, 2018, actor Bill Murray and cellist Jan Volger recited the poem Dog by Lawrence Ferlinghetti from the front steps of the Driscoll Hotel to promote the film Isle of Dogs during the 2018 South by Southwest Festival, which is right over there, too.
Okay.
So in addition to its beautiful architecture and rich history, the Driscoll continues to draw attention due to its host of tragedies and rumors of paranormal activities.
Mm-hmm.
The hotel is said to be home to more than one ghost, including 7-year-old Samantha, who died after falling down the grand staircase.
We will be talking about her.
All right. Do you have anything to add to the history here?
No. I mean, this just sounds like an amazing place. I think it's a Romanesque style.
It is Romanesque.
Yeah. So it's real pretty, but it sounds like there's been so much that's changed to it over the years, but then others have tried to bring it back
restore
to that original.
It.
And so it's just got a lot going on.
Yeah, it definitely
it's been
does.
Been around a long time.
Definitely does. I would love to check it out. The pictures are beautiful of the place.
Yeah.
So there can't be any ghosts because it's beautiful. And at that, we're going to take a short break. And when we return, Rebecca's got no evidence for me, so we're just going to sit here.
No, we have a lot of it.
All right, so we're going to be back in a second.
Ready for some evidence?
No. But let's do it anyways.
All right.
By the way, for those that don't know, I don't really get any of the evidence beforehand.
He doesn't like to see it.
No. So I'm going into this completely cold.
Yes.
Except I know something about a picture. That's all I know.
I know.
There's something about a picture.
Yes.
All right.
All right. So I have a quote that I found that I thought was fun to start with.
All right.
If you're staying in the Driscoll with your lover, then you just know you're having a threesome that night. There's always a rascally revenant in the room doing its voyeur bit.
And by threesome, you mean like three people for cards.
Three people hanging out.
For cards, yeah.
For cards, yeah.
Yeah, you play cards with your lovers.
And that's a quote from Sam Yuretsi, a paranormal investigator.
Wow, it's kind of like Yahtzee, but Yuretsi.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yuretsi.
So, anyways, yeah, sorry, I know we're a clean show, but I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. It's clean.
It has
to do with playing cards.
There you go. Exactly. You know, you're going to have a third person there.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Which some people don't mind, that third person.
Some people don't mind that. Yeah. So to start, Jesse Driscoll himself is said to haunt the hotel.
What? No. Yeah. He was only there for like a month.
I know, but as we said, again, after a year, he had to give up the ownership. And I put some things in here talking about like Game of Cards and all that. I think that seems a bit far-fetched to me that he lost it in a game of cards or something. I don't think that's true, but he did lose the hotel.
Oh, I will say that Mondo just got back from Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a 360 video.
Ooh.
So we will put a link in the show notes to the 360 video that he did. I know one of the things I'm really excited about is a statue of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So this is from the book True Haunted Tales of the Driscoll Hotel by Monica Ballard.
Okay.
One of my most favorite stories is one of the few sightings we've had of Colonel Driscoll. Mm. One of his favorite rooms in the Driscoll overlooks 6th and Brazos. And there was a consultant in town who woke up one night to see a gentleman standing in his room, looking out the window about 3 o'clock in the morning, puffing on a cigar. He sat up in bed and said, "Hey, fella, what are you doing in my room?" And this, he said the guy looked at him and gave him this look like, "Your room," but he didn't say anything. The consultant leaned over and snapped on the light by the bed. And when the light came on, there was no one standing by the window. But the curtains were still swaying and there was a cloud of cigar smoke in the air.
Okay.
So that kind of, you can see that's where some of the story from earlier came from.
Sure. So for me, I'm going to say that, when you just wake up in the morning, weird things seem to take place. This is one of the most common sightings of ghosts is when you're just woken up.
Yep. Because that's what ghosts like to do.
Or maybe it's because you're still half asleep and you still are half in dreamland and half in reality. That's what I always like to think of. And the cigar smoke could be from the room down below. I'm just saying.
Well, I will say the cigar smoke is something that is often claimed at the hotel because of him. And I don't know, to me, I don't know, I haven't really ever woken up and seen a person that doesn't. That's not there. I don't know how common that
is. I actually have, so.
So you've seen a ghost.
I've seen Mother Mary.
That's right. Yes, you have.
Yes.
Yes.
And
again,
to me.
In case you guys forgot.
It could be, I could be half asleep when I saw that. So.
Pat has had more paranormal things happen to him than I have.
Okay.
So what would you rate this?
Oh, 0 on this one.
All right. I give this one a 6.
All right. 6.
All right, so now...
Wait, why only 6 and not like an 8 or something if, the person saw somebody? I'm just curious.
It is a little bit weird with it being Jesse Driscoll himself. I'm a little bit was it him? Was it some... I do think this guy saw a spirit, but,
Okay.
It's,
all right.
I don't know.
Just was curious.
Okay. So the next evidence is the bride.
Yes.
Now there's 2 brides actually,
yes.
But we're going to just focus on one of them.
Yes.
Because there was a bride who ended her life back in the 30s.
Okay.
But I couldn't really find a ton of information about that. So we're going to talk about one that happened in the 90s.
Okay.
Now there's a lot of stories about this person.
Mm-hmm.
But basically the story that's often told is that a distraught bride checked into the Driscoll. Her fiance had just called off their wedding.
Ooh.
So she decided to blow $40,000, whatever this was, a lot of money on a shopping spree and eating everywhere, spending a ton
that
of
sounds
money.
Fun.
Yeah. So for 2 days, she just had all spent everything. And then on the 3rd day, she lined up all of her things that she bought. And then she had a gun and she ended her life.
Oh.
Yeah. And so to this day, people swear that they see her ghost towing bags up and down the halls of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find a specific story
okay.
of someone that says they saw this.
Okay.
So the Driscoll was being restored in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about that. And two women wanted to stay in the historic historic wing in the fourth floor. But they were given regular rooms on a different floor. After a night out, they returned around 2 p.m., or so I'm guessing 2 a.m. And curious.
2 p.m., that's really late.
Yeah. And curious, they went to the fourth floor to explore. As they were wondering.
Fourth floor to explore.
There you go.
That sounds like Sean Connery saying that. It's the fourth floor to explore. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right. They said a woman with shopping bags got off the elevator and walked to her room.
Mm.
When asked if the renovations were bothering her, she said no and went to her room. The next day, the women were upset that someone received a room in the historic wing and asked the desk manager. And he told them, he took them to the fourth floor and said, and to that room and opened it. And it was empty. They're just construction materials. Like, again, you couldn't stay there. It had not, there were no, yeah. there was no guest staying there. So,
I'm thinking that they went on the wrong floor. That's all. I mean, and they thought it was the fourth floor.
Well, they were seeing the construction, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, I mean, nobody was staying there, though, so. Mm. Yeah, so I'm going to go zero on this one. It doesn't really say anything to me. Okay. I mean, this could just be whatever. I mean, they saw construction. They saw a person, but they, you know, that person looked like a normal person. They didn't say it was a ghost that talked to them. And so it could have actually been a person. So zero.
Okay. Well, for me, this one is an eight. Like they okay. had a conversation with this person.
Is it because they got in at 2 p.m.?
I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, and what I will just say too, like there is evidence of this person. Like I don't want to give a name or whatever, but like
yeah.
this did happen. Now I will say the official police report. Yes, she did spend money, but it was more like she spent it on alcohol and yeah. like it was one of those, it was kind of different, but
I am willing to say that these women that stayed out till 2 p.m. might have spent some money on alcohol too. I'm just going to say, you know, kids drinking is bad for you.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to ghosts.
There you go.
You see him then.
Okay, let's talk about the story that you mentioned, which okay. was Samantha.
Okay.
Right? And so this is, sometimes she's referred to as the senator's daughter.
Okay.
So guests of the Driscoll frequently report a young female poltergeist darting along the grand staircase of the mezzanine. According to local lore, this female apparition is a senator's daughter. So this happened in 1887
okay.
when the Driscoll was hosting a special function for that year's legislative session. Since the Texas state capitol was still under construction, the Senate opted to hold their session at the Driscoll instead.
Okay, makes sense.
During
so
the,
far.
The event, the senator handed his daughter a ball to distract her while he handled his business. With her ball in hand, the sweet girl skipped over to the staircase. She was bouncing. Don't let your kids play by the stairs. She was bouncing the ball up and down when it went sailing from her grasp. She tried to grab it, but only succeeded in tumbling down the steps herself. Some believe the little girl died from a broken neck at the base of the stairs. Paranormal investigators have managed to catch the faint sound of a ball ping-ponging against the walls while mischievous voice giggles. This friendly spirit is also known to play with children in their room or halls. And when the parents ask their children who they're playing with, the response is almost always the same, Samantha.
All right. So just for the record, because I mentioned it in the history.
Yes.
I did some investigating mm-hmm. and I cannot find a reference to this girl besides ghost stories. That's all I see. There's nothing in any newspapers of the day. You know, which doesn't mean that it didn't happen, but it means that it's highly sus that, you know, it would have been mentioned probably in some kind of news or something.
Well, I wonder if it wasn't really a senator's daughter. Like that part of the story does. Well,
I didn't even
little...
know it was a senator's daughter. I just looked for the 7-year-old girl.
Okay. Cause I think if it yeah. was a senator's daughter, number one, there would be news on that.
But I looked for a 7-year-old girl that died, you know, early on.
Yeah. But in the 1887, I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't get reported.
I'm just saying that I didn't hear this. Okay. Now, paranormal investigators use equipment like spirit boxes, which is probably where they're hearing the ping-ponging against the wall mm-hmm. sound, which is a sound that some of those spirit boxes can make on its own. And the giggling thing, it picks up all kinds of stuff. It's not necessarily picking up ghost voices, although some people believe it is. It's also picking up radio waves, and some of them nowadays use internet connections, too, mm-hmm. to come up with these things. So I am always sus of these things. Even Neil's Adahada box, I love it because it called Nick Mataragas a douche.
Yeah.
Which he is. He's admitted that. So it is right in that regard. But I don't know. I've heard all kinds of things on there. And I've also seen people fall into the idea that they think that they heard something that it didn't actually say, because I've played tapes back and stuff and listened.
Now, what do you think about kids that are playing with someone that's not there and then says the name Samantha? Because we've heard those stories before,
yeah.
usually in graveyards or places like that.
Yeah, but kids sometimes have imaginary friends. In fact, they say the more intelligent the kid, the more likely they are to have an imaginary friend.
Well, that may be, but so, if it's not who they usually play with and they all have the same answer.
Well, but going to a strange place at a strange time might make you change who your imaginary friend is. So zero for this one as well.
All right. This one's a 7 for me.
Okay.
Okay. Now, continuing slightly with the little girl, though that isn't the most common for this one, but this is the painting.
Okay.
So there's another story about the Driscoll, that there is a painting on the fifth floor, and it is there. And it is often linked to a little ghost girl. The artwork is... based on it, like it itself doesn't have a name because it's a copy of a painting. So it's painted, but it's a painted replica of a painting by Charles Garland called Love Letter. Mm-hmm. And the artist is Richard King.
Okay.
It depicts a little girl holding a bouquet of flowers in one hand and a letter in the other. Her spirit is, again, some people think this is the spirit that is around, that's the little girl that's around, not this Samantha. Yeah. And they say, that she's spotted near the painting a lot. I couldn't really find any evidence to tie like a ghost to the picture necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of paranormal disturbances around the painting. And people claim that it really makes them feel just like disturbed when they see it.
And I just looked at the picture. It is kind of disturbing. Also, because I had prior knowledge, which I don't typically have, mm-hmm. so I did have the opportunity to look up painting in Driscoll, and so I found an article that mm-hmm. says that it's actually a replica painting.
Right.
It's not the real, Richard King painting. And many others exist, and they have them in people's houses,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people claim that it freaks them out. It's got this uncanny valley kind of look to it. Where it's like too close to being perfect. You know, it's definitely not like, it kind of looks like a porcelain doll almost. You know, if I'm looking at the picture right now, kind of looks like a porcelain doll, but it's very mischievous. It's got this, it's like looking down slightly mm-hmm. with a little bit of a quirky smile to
mm-hmm.
it.
The eyes are creepy.
I could totally see that this would be a creepy painting.
And it's one of those where, like, the eyes, I think, follow you.
Yeah, but I just think that that's something that the image just plays tricks on your mind, you know, and I don't think it's anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, I think Richard King made it a little creepy on purpose.
Gotcha.
So I'm... There's nothing to rate here. I'm just going to say 0 for this one.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
Like, I do think it's creepy.
Yeah.
I think it's weird that, you know, any copy of this painting, you know, that you said there's like lots of people have it, that it makes them feel freaked out. But then that makes me think, like, it's nothing about the Driscoll.
No.
It's just about the painting itself, or the image.
It's just about the image. It's got, I mean, maybe if it was the original painting, it could have some kind of energy, right?
Right. But this isn't.
This is a copy of a copy. Yeah. It's a replica. It's, you know.
Right. Yeah. All right. So we've got one more story.
Did you save the best for last, Rebecca?
I don't know. You'll have to let me know what you think. I had choices because is the guy that I mentioned in my ghost story at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I really like this other one. Yeah. So this is one I went with.
Right. And we're only, you know, we only do like five or six on each one of these. So, and Rebecca likes to do these things where she puts like little stories inside a story.
Yes.
So she gets
so
away with more than
many
five anyways.
Things. I mean, have to try to get them in.
But it's fine. It's just, I mean, we can't go over all of them. So, yeah. I mean, but we do want you to vote based upon what you hear in this podcast. But definitely after you voted, go ahead and look up some more of them.
Yeah. There's more stories out there.
I mean, you definitely should.
Yes. Okay. So this is an interview with a hotel employee named Laura Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just from a few years ago. And she started seeing ghosts pretty much right away.
Okay.
An employee was giving her a tour of the facility, and she looked into one of the 8 ornate gold leaf mirrors in the Maximilian room.
Which I mentioned.
Yes.
Those were smoking rooms, actually.
Yes.
Once upon a time.
Thank you for saying that. Okay. Keep that in mind. And it's a hall for premium dining events that's adorned with gold and white decor, according to the Driscoll's website. And as she was looking at this mirror, she saw an apparition.
Okay.
Quote, I was looking in the mirror and I saw this white, smoggy figured lady, she told the Mirror US. She just walked across the mirror. I looked behind me and there was nobody behind me. It freaked me out. She turned to the other employee and demanded, oh my gosh, did you see that? He simply told her, yeah, this place is haunted. You didn't know that?
Okay. I'm going to say that, especially with the gold leaf in there, this place, this really would look old then. You know, give you that old feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
The place is from the late 1800s, and people just associate old places with haunts. So I'm thinking that's what she did, and she saw something. Her mind played a trick on her. It was like a reflection in the mirror that it just probably could be light or something like that.
Well, except for the other guy, the fellow employee, also saw it. And was
he just said, "Yeah, this place is haunted." Like he didn't even really acknowledge that, you know, he saw it. He just was like, "Yeah, it's haunted. This place is haunted." But that's just a feeling that people get sometimes. It doesn't necessarily mean that anything is out of the ordinary there. I'm going to go zero for a trifecta or a cinco. I don't know. This is like, to me, none of this evidence means anything as far as haunts go.
Well, I think this one's big. I'm going to give this one a 7. I think that this employee, you know, when employees are seeing things, they're the ones that are hanging out there the most. So if they see stuff, I think that's,
or they just
want
to be heard, you know. So anyway, speaking of being heard, what is your overall rating?
So I'm gonna go 7.
I'm gonna go 0 because average of 0 is 0. You know, so that brings us to the closing arguments. This is our last chance to convince you to vote our way. We're each given 1 minute of uninterrupted time. Rebecca, remember that. Because you have interrupted before. We will time each other on our cell phones to keep each other honest.
Yes.
Rebecca, are you ready?
I am ready.
And away you go.
All right. I think there's a good chance the Driscoll's haunted. It's got a lot of history. There's definitely been many, several deaths there. The original owner, you know, faced hardship. It's, you know, it's had a lot of time where it kind of sat while it was waiting for someone, or like times when it got run down and then it brought back up. And so I think it just makes sense. And the fact that there is actually a ghost story that's relatively recent, like from the 90s, is always interesting to me. As I was saying at the end there, I feel like when employees start having stories, that's usually a big tip for me. So
all right. It's haunted. You still had like 10 seconds, 15 seconds left. So.
Thank you. Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
And go.
If you Google any popular hotel, it's going to say that it's haunted. That is just fact. And here is another thing. It's just because this is old and because there have been tragedies in this hotel, it's not as tragic as some tragedies, though. Some are even more tragic. And there's no documented evidence from anybody reputable about any of these places. There's nothing. If there was, we wouldn't need to be talking about, is there a ghost? We would know. And that's it. So I want to thank everyone so much for listening. Please share us with your friends and family, as word of mouth is our best advertisement. Remember to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so yet. And we have some VIP producers. I would love to give them a shout out. There's Andrew,
Alicia,
Becky,
Kim,
Ernie,
Cindy,
Kevin,
Jessica,
Alice,
Aaron,
Hope,
and Candy.
And on the next episode, we are going to be talking about Castle of Good Hope in Cape Town, South Africa.
We're going out of the country.
And it comes out on May 1st. Not on May 1st, but on the May 15th episode, I might have some news.
Yeah,
we'll about some see. Stuff. I don't want to give away anything, but there's one special listener out there that I just like to say thank you. And we will be talking about that if it happens close to May 15th.
You got it. And if you are in the Chicago area and you're listening to this before April 27th,
yes,
we are going to be at C2E2 again this yes. year, talking about Chicago hauntings at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Come for Ghostly out. And stay for Marvel, G.I. Joe,
yeah, all the fun
Ghostbusters,
stuff.
everything, you know, they it's have, just such a fun place.
Pop things.
Oh, no, you need a special invite for that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it costs money, and they are sold out.
Okay, well, there's a lot of fun people
the
to
Funko
get.
Pops.
Funko Pops. That's what she's thinking of, yeah.
All right, until next time, stay ghostly.
Bye.